time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.tv. On this June 11th, I'm Mike Rickard, the hapless hack. The cool caddy, Oscar Garner III, the big O, he will make a cameo appearance at some time today. He's been on the road and going to stop in and grace me with his presence. We're here every Saturday from 11 to 12. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And it's our 19th hole clubhouse studios today because of the dicey weather conditions. I'm actually in the headquarters of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the third floor of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right down here on 13th and Central. And I'll divert a little bit away from the world of golf, where tonight it will be the Lightning watch party against the Rangers, an opportunity to continue their three-peat quest. The Tampa Bay Lightning and this place will be off the charts. I'm telling you, you can't get a ticket at Amalie, and it may be raining outside Amalie for that festive environment, but Ferg Sports Bar and Grill is just as active, and I can assure you, an absolute blast. So there's the promotion, and then, of course, in the next next 2 hours after this, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network presents Tampa Bay Sports Connection, and soon Prep Connection, so stay tuned for that if you're a high school sports fan of any kind. We'll bring you the entire world of golf every week, PGA, Champions, LPGA, collegiate and high schools. We're going to dive more into that as we advance this production. And I hate to say this, but it's the hot topic in the world of golf. I'll probably be covering the LIV tournament because it's so compelling, and it's got some big-time names. And if I don't mention it, you know, I'm a red, white, and blue guy all the way. God bless America to every one of my end of my shows, and I just can't stand it. It's easy to say here, you know, as at 65 years of old, I'm still laboring, trying to make a buck. But, you know, the almighty dollar is at the bottom line of this, and in everything. Look what it's done to collegiate sports, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on as well. So we'll cover that. I've got great conversations today. I got Bill Butner. He's the head golf coach at the Eckert Tritons for the men's and the women's. He's got a great career, and he went to the University of North Carolina. Actually, watching them on the big screen now in the College World Series, he may not answer the phone. And then, of course, the expert, our man, John Rieger's golf report, and he'll break down his opinion on LIV. And then next week, the important thing, we'll talk about the U.S. Open as well. Keep in mind that we're at your disposal. If you have a fundraiser that I think is definitely worthy of us promoting and sending out the Big O, the on the course caddy, to have conversations and promote your efforts, we'll do it. We've been doing it since we launched this baby a couple of months ago, and we do it from the biggest. We're doing the NFL, of course, their Super Bowl of golf. I've already been out to that this year, and we'll do that on an annual basis. I'm already invited to the Florida Sports Hall of Fame annual golf tournament, their fundraiser over in Orlando, and that's July 8th. We'll talk about that. Today is Ray Jam for Florida Rising Stars over at Babe Zaharas course for my good friend Wayne Hogan and those guys. I hope that the weather holds off for them because that's an excellent cause. And I'm going to talk to Bill Butner a little bit more about the St. Pete First, their St. Pete First Tee fundraising tournament. If I could get my thoughts together as I'm watching a little bit. That's the bad thing about it. I got televisions up here, and my ADD kicks in. Anyway, so we're going to talk about that. That's next Saturday, and I know there's still foursomes available, and that's the St. Pete First Tee, their annual fundraising tournament, the St. Pete Clearwater, the St. Pete Country Club. But we have the Clearwater First Tee on board as well, so we'll be talking about that. And then this Monday, the 13th, it's the Miracle by the Bay, brought to you by Perfect Stance at the Bayou Club. And that's my friend, of course, Dominic Albanese. We had a little meeting today, this past week. It's their charity event, Miracle by the Bay, the Baseball Charity Classic is for handicapped kids. He wants to build a facility where kids that are wheelchair bound and can play. And I did this in the Midwest with the Iowa Cubs, and we built we called it Miracle Park right across from the park, and it was superb for these young kids, the Special Olympians, anybody. So that is this Monday. And there's still foursomes available if you would like to go up there. Great track. In fact, we're going to talk to Jim King next week. He teaches lessons up there. Perfect stance hitting mats at Bayou Club in Largo. Contact Michael Jones, 712-420-1661, or myjonespga@gmail.com, and give him a call, 712-420-1661. That is a great cause, and I like to get behind out of them. So just get a hold of me, mrickard@gmail.com, and we'll get the big O out there. On the Tee, as I mentioned, is archived on our Hoovy.tv channel, and our weekly On the Tee Golf Report this coming week will be focused on the U.S. Open, and we'll talk to John Rieger about that. Let's recognize our broadcasting partners on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM. I know my man, Lynn the Growler Strickler, is listening right now. He's about a mile from Clearwater Country Club, hangs out with his buddy JD, comes down here for the Rays games, and I'm going to have a conversation with him next week if I can get him on the air to come on down and share some of his stories, U.S. Open stories. At one time ranked in the top 36 in the world caddies, and this cat has some incredible stories. He's been on several times, and I just smile every time I see him because you never know what story he's going to tell you. And speaking of Greg Norman, he was on Greg Norman's bag for British Open, and for several times he looped for him, and that's Greg Norman in the eye of the storm, if you will. And I'm just not a Greg Norman fan. I think he's a pompous individual, and I think he always has. He's never respected anybody. It's his world, Greg Norman's world. And I'll give you a prime story that took place this week, and this is pathetic. This is why this entire thing is built on cash and deceit and deception, because nobody can honestly answer any questions in these press conferences. They're all scripted. They remind me of some political presentation. It's just absolute BS. But Alan Shipnick, he's the author of the book that kind of blew the whistle on Phil Mickelson. And they had collaborated together. And Alan says that, you know, everything, there was no non-disclosure when it came out, some of the comments that the whole world knows about from Phil Mickelson, and he's playing this week and not very well, in the inaugural LIV event in London. But Shipnick went on Thursday to the press conference. He got credentials from Greg Norman, and he was credentialed, and he went to the press conference, and all of a sudden at the press conference, you should Google it, these two monsters come and ask him, or don't ask. They tell him, you're not welcome here. He said, well, I got a press pass here. Well, you got the wrong one. Yours says production. And just a BS excuse, obviously. And they escorted him out. He gets outside the facility, and he texts Greg Norman. Do you know what just happened to me? Norman's lying through his teeth responses, no, I'll check into it. Well, a CNN reporter was there. The CNN reporter has footage of Greg Norman with an unbelievable, you know, your ass is mine look right behind the two goons that escort Mickelson off the grounds. Now, that gives you just a little snippet of how pathetic this tournament is, backed by the corrupt Saudi government. And we'll talk to John Rieger, and he can give his professional opinion on it. I understand some of the personal decisions, the morality of it. They're pushing to the wayside. It happens everywhere in America, but the implications for the PGA do not look good, and in many cases. And Jay Monahan, of course, he put the hammer down this week. In case you missed it, right now the RBC Canadian Tour is playing the Canadian Open. And I'll go over that leaderboard. But when they made their announcement, and that was Patrick Reed, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, DJ, Bryson DeChambeau. I'm glad he's gone. He's a whiner and weird, but he's good for the game. I mean, the guy's explosive, and I loved it, the bizarre buffoonery between him and Florida State grad Brooks Koepka. And then Sergio Gurlio Garcia. I don't care if I ever see him again. But the bottom line is the PGA essentially kicked these guys out of PGA participation. Now, these guys will be at the U.S. Open next week. So we will see. It's going to be dicey. I think there's going to be a lot of flack from the galleries towards Lefty, towards Patrick Reed, towards DJ. These guys and the Masters, the four majors, they can still participate in. And I think the only way that they're going to make a resounding statement against this, I mean, $150 million here, $100 million there. I mean, it's an unlimited fund because they want to, as they say, sports wash their cash over there in Saudi Arabia. So we'll see what takes place with this particular issue. But it's not going away anytime soon. And today I picked up the New York Post, and there's some objective attorneys out there that say the PGA doesn't have a case, and that's unfortunate. But the entire world is driven by greed, and that's reality. So why I do that? Let's go over that leaderboard. It's in London. It's at the Centurion Club. Charles Schwartzel's on top at 9-under. Let's see. I'm just going to give you notables. Dustin Johnson 8 off the pace, 1 back. Let's see where. Louis Oosthuizen, and I like Louis. I can't believe he made that move. Louis Oosthuizen is 1 over. Sergio Garcia, 1 over. Ian Poulter, 1 over. Where's Lefty? Well, Lefty, 4 over. I'd like to see him in DL dead last. Talk about tarnishing your legacy. I don't understand it. But a lot of it stemmed from his gambling habit too. I believe that was a big portion of his making a decision. And then he stuck his foot in his mouth when he absolutely blasted the Saudis, but then went ahead and took the money and run, as Steve Miller Band used to say in a classic old rock song. And I'm a classic here on the mic, so that's what you get. Hey, all right, let's go. Speaking of old, let's go to the Champions Tour. Last week was won in Des Moines, Iowa, the Principal Charity Classic. Jerry Kelly. I love Jerry Kelly because he's a Packer fan from Wisconsin, and he won right there in his backyard in Des Moines, Iowa, and he was the winner. This week, they are in Madison, Wisconsin. Steve Stricker's home as well. Steve Flesh, Fleshy's on top. Miguel Angel Jimenez, he's 7-under. 1 stroke back. Another one guy that I'm not a big fan of. Colin Ballin Montgomery, he's 6-under. He's 1 back. Jerry Kelly, here he is home. He's only 3 off the pace. That'd be a great back-to-back and a win at home. Some of the notables, let's see, did JD play this week? John Daly, he lives up in Clearwater. Yeah, JD's doing pretty good. He's 1-under, top third of the pack. There's no cut in the Champions Tour, and they just play 3 days. They're strict. Three stricter is 1 back. I mean, 1-under, and he's 6 back. So that's that tour. I think it handles that. And then there is PGA play, and there are the guys that I'm going to be supporting and love them. Now, this is the Canadian. They need a little more firepower on that leaderboard to take some of this focus away from the Saudi tour. I got to come up with something cool with that name to bash him every time I mention him. Wyndham Clarkson first place right now, and he's sitting at 7-under. Alex Smalley is 6-under. Keith Mitchell, 6-under. Rory McIlroy, I'm going to be pulling for Rory because I think he's going to be the leader against this group that have left from Europe. I think he's the voice of reason, and he's 6-under, and Matt Fitzpatrick is 6-under as well. And that's the PGA side of things. And I want to welcome our newest supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheiner is with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge growing up in a family home construction success for decades. She grew up in Lamar's, Iowa, about 25 miles north of my hometown. Barb's energy, her bubbly personality, everybody loves her, takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. Reach out to Barb with Champa Bay today at barbwithchampabay@gmail.com. That's barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call, 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. And speaking of calls, I'm going to call Bill Butner. We're going to talk about the first tee event taking place next weekend. The Big O, Oscar Garner III, will be he'll be perched out there for me, having a lot of fun. We had those guys on, and that's a great cause. And I've talked about it before. You know, first tee has just done a superb job. But in St. Pete, down south, we'll talk about the club drive, and we'll be talking to them a lot next week when they're at St. Pete Country Club. But let's talk to the man with the plan, the North Carolina shill, Bill Butner. What's up, my man?
Go Tar Heels. We got a big game tonight up at Bochum Stadium, so we got the baseball team rolling right now.
Well, I'm actually watching. Is this a replay from yesterday on ESPN playing Arkansas, or is that live today?
That's today.
I'm watching it, brother.
Well, let's go. Go Heels.
I said that. I said he may not even answer the phone because but you're probably at work, actually.
I actually am. I hate to tell you that, but I am.
All right, buddy. While we're talking, I'll give you updates. 0-0, top of the ninth, okay? I mean, top of the first.
All right. I'm going home with you. Don't worry. I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Hey, so thanks for coming down. This you haven't been on the tee, and I'd like to make you a regular guest because you got great stories. You have a superb superb history, and I love what you're doing with the Eckert kids and the commitment. And it's nice that, you know, a former colleague. I guess I can't call you that. I was a cart jockey for you guys for about nine months, and then you ran me off.
Well, you know, I mean, you're going to do what you can do. So we appreciate all you did for us.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I have extreme respect for you guys that work in the golf industry. I've been telling this to all the golf pros. That was very eye-opening for me. I did it up in Dunedin for a minute and then spent that time with you guys. That's hard damn work.
Yeah, it is. It's a commitment that only on the days that people are not working. So it's weekends, it's holidays, it's the days that other people are off, you are working.
Well, and the thing about it, I don't think people appreciate the physical labor. They think you guys just stand out there on the range and give some tips, play rounds with people that you're working with or your lessons. And then sit at the desk and collect cash. It's not that easy, man.
What you learn to do from sun up to sundown. You gotta love it.
Well, let's do a little Bill Butner history. Where'd you grow up at? When'd you get in the game of golf? And talk about your career because you've done about everything. You're kind of like John Rieger, and I'm trying to coordinate you two talking at the same time. But I don't have my wizards with me today from a technology perspective, so you're stuck with me.
And I'll have
Rieger call you sometime this week. But yeah.
Have John get in touch with me. That'd be great.
I will. Well, he'll be on right after you. Okay, so let's talk about where'd you grow up and your storied career in the great game of golf.
I started in Plymouth, Massachusetts, a good New England state, good New England town. Started playing a lot of sports that involved with baseball, basketball, soccer, sailing, you name it, everything but golf, and played a lot of Little League and Summer League and all kinds of basketball, baseball. Really thought I had a good shot at playing basketball, although we didn't realize how small we were and how not talented we were, but I decided to go to North Carolina to try and play basketball there until I found out what real basketball looked like. So when I got there, I figured that it's time to move on to another sport. So I had dabbled in golf for about 2 years, 3 years before, And it was a sport that you could play by yourself, and you could get as good as you wanted to. So I took up golf 24/7 my freshman year at college. And lo and behold, it got better and better, and I kept on playing and knocking my head against the wall. And eventually I broke through a little bit and started playing pretty good for the college, and started to play where I thought I could play professionally. And that's kind of when I turned professional, right out of college, and just kept on going. And here I am now, retired from the playing side. So, and thankfully been coaching 20 years at Eckerd College.
So that's been a 20-year stint. I was curious about that. Okay, so what year were, and trust me, I'm a lot older than you, what years were you at North Carolina?
I was there from 75 to 78.
Well, hell, we're the same age.
Yeah, Bob, we are. I mean, I look older than dirt, but you stay young somehow.
Yeah, right. I was just going to reverse that, and I think it's the game of golf, and you getting to work with kids that helps you. Mine's flapping my jaws on this microphone and interviewing Eckerd kids and high school kids. That keeps me young. So you were there. Now, were you guys in the ACC that entire time, right?
Yeah, that was with David Thompson at NC State, Mike Burleson at Maryland. They had the ACC was big time basketball. Lefty Griselle, Dean Smith. You had all the coaches, you had all the players. It was fantastic to watch it and to kind of live vicariously through it.
You know, I knew I was going to have a conversation with you, so I was getting ready today. I must have inherited this book from my brother-in-law, who's they live in Raleigh, but he's a North Carolina nut. And this book, Tobacco Road, Duke.
Tobacco Road, absolutely.
Duke, Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, the history of the most intense backyard rivalries in sports. And it's a hell of a read, man. A lot of history.
The history that goes back, and now you're starting to see the turnover. Obviously, Dean Smith left, Coach K left, Lefty Griselle left, Crum left at Clemson. I mean, you got a lot of the coaches that...
Roy Williams stepped away.
Now Roy's gone, and so it's a whole different ball game, especially with the NLI, so the name, likeness, and image kind of thing, and the portal, and it's just changing all of college sports.
Well, I think it's nuts. In fact, my third hour today, I'm going to talk to an NCAA, an attorney that's litigated a lot, just on how are they going to get their arms around this. Oh, my God. But let's go back to golf during that era. Was golf that focused on in the ACC back in the 70s, or did it just start evolving and like it has exploded after the Tiger Woods success?
No, it was still one of those sports that you really were afraid to admit you played. you kind of were the athlete. You weren't you were kind of part of the band, if you will. I mean, it wasn't very well looked at. But there were some programs: Houston, UCLA, and of course Wake Forest with Arnold Palmer, that were giving scholarships out and were competing, and really the pipeline to the PGA Tour. So I came in right at the start of scholarshipping for men's golf, and my first year was the first year they had a scholarship at North Carolina for golf, and it was still walk-ons, it was still good times, it was still not very well coached. It was not in the ACC, wasn't that big a deal. You had a couple of good players, but it was all about Wake Forest. It was all about Jay Haas and Curtis Strange and Bob Byman and David Thor. You had the heroes over there that won
Hall of Famers, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a factory, and that was just before you had some other guys. Leonard Thompson was there, and of course, Lanny Watkins was there. So you had a whole bunch of guys that was the pipeline to the PGA Tour. So So when I got there, you know, just had to, just kind of had to work your way into kind of halfway breaking 80, kind of like Zinger and I did. Both Zinger and I kind of came in with barely breaking 80 and ended up playing the tour together. So it could happen, but golf was a growing thing at the time. Nicklaus, they started having TV with Nicklaus and Palmer. It really didn't explode till probably when Greg Norman started to come on board and get the TV rights, and the tour then exploded financially, and then obviously Tiger quadrupled it big time.
Well, it's funny you bring up Greg Norman, because I opened the show and I wasn't very warm in my conversation with him. There's a friend of mine that lives up in Clearwater, and he was on Norman's bag for a while, and you know, Now look at Norman. He's trying to implode the PGA. And
well, he tried that in the 80s. He was adamant about getting Beamon to create a world tour and to let players, you know, again, leave the tour to be separated, because he didn't really feel like the PGA Tour was the right way of doing things. And he got shot down, and he wasn't happy about it, but now he's reliving his dream. So he's not, I don't know, what's his title? Is he commissioner or I don't know what his title is.
A-hole.
Ah, wow. Well, that's one of his nicknames, yes.
Yeah, oh, my God. Some of the things he's done of late. But anyway, that's negative stuff. Let's talk positive. Okay, so you went out on the tour, and, you know, those are the days where you drove your own car, even the guys that were winning tournaments. And if you didn't make the cut, what they used to say, well, I got to go. It's a slam the trunk tournament. Get on the road and head to the next event, right?
Yeah, we drove a lot. Obviously, the West Coast was flying, but once you got out there, you stayed out there and drove around. And then you flew to the East Coast, and you drove around, and then you went up north with the tour. So it was fairly convenient to drive, but you had, you know, Zinger had his own little cat, and Tony, his wife, was with him in this little van. I had a van. I didn't sleep in it, but I had a van that went from, you know, knocking on doors, can I sleep with you tonight kind of thing. So I was America's guest for a while, going to different houses. And, you know, obviously the tournament sponsors would offer you housing, and I would take them up on it. So I got to be good friends for a week with a lot of good people around the country. And, you know, it really, as I say, I had to beat him out of the strip joints on the bar to play good. If I could do that, then I could succeed. And it became an understanding of how to play the tour, understanding how to play the golf courses. And it really was a learning process, because you didn't have the Nike/Korn Ferry/Buy.com tours. You had the European Tour, you had the U.S. Tour, and you had to learn how to play the PGA Tour. Nowadays, these kids from the college ranks to junior ranks, they step out ready to play.
Well, they've got kind of like baseball, and you love baseball. They've got a feeder system, a farm system now, with all these different tournaments.
Right. I mean, like I said, you really, back in my day, you really had to spend some time learning how to play the tour, and that's why you really didn't win until you were in the late 20s, early 30s. And it was a process, because you really didn't know what tour golf looked like, whether it be the length of the golf course, the difficulty of the golf course, the putting surfaces. Everything was different than college golf. Everything was different than mini tour golf. So you really didn't have an idea of how to prepare. Now they play a lot of good golf courses collegiately. They play better golf courses than I've ever played. I mean, they take over the best golf. The one you just saw with the NCAA.
Yeah, I watched that.
What a fantastic golf course that was. And green speeds of, I don't know what it was, 27 or, you know, something ridiculous. It looked like that. I guess they were 13 or 14. And who was the medalist team there? Who was the low team on the metal side. Oh, it was North Carolina. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're not. You're not sorry. Yeah. Go Heels.
Yeah, go Heels.
You're not sorry at all.
And, but then they ran into Pepperdine, and that match play thing was kind of, you know, that's always an interesting concept because it's hard.
It's grinded.
It's a thing that the collegiates don't play during the year, and yet here they come all the way through the end of the year, and they're playing match play the last three matches. So, but the Heels will be back. They'll be back in form.
Well, still no score, buddy, in the bottom of the second.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Yeah, I'll give you those up. See, we accommodate our guests there on the team. Hey, let's talk positive. Next Saturday, actually, I'm sending out my Mr. Wizard, Oscar Garner III. He's a Michigan State grad. Don't hold that against him. But he's coming out, and we're going to set up on the tee four, first tee, at my favorite golf course in the area. And, of course, that's St. Pete Country Club. That's a great event, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fantastic, and thanks to Brittany Lindsey Combe for all she's done for the first tee. She's been great.
Well, you know, his name escapes me, the executive director for the first tee down there.
Rick Walton?
Yeah, I had Rick on the air, and he brought a youngster down, the kid he calls PGA. This young kid, about 11 years old, and dressed to the nines, dressed like Tiger Woods, and just warms your heart to see these kids. And what they're doing at First Tee of St. Petersburg with their after-school program, Bill, is unbelievable. They bring these these kids get a snack. They have a study hour, and they have to maintain a 3.0 grade point average, and then they can get their lessons and go out and hit them.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to help tutor those. So the basketball team, the different teams at Eckerd College have been able to volunteer their time.
Fabulous.
In tutoring.
Great.
Yeah, but. Bring up the tournament next week. Said individual will be there, so I will be on the tee. I will be there competing. Not sure to what level, but I'll be competing.
Oh, what do you mean? You're not sure what level? Yeah, I tell you what. I'd have you on my foursome anytime. I'd go with the chalk. I want Bill Butner on my team. He might know that course a little bit too.
I happen to know the course. We just beat Mangrove Bay in our St. Pete Cup last week. So the golf course is coming around. We just aerated and verticut and all that fun stuff. The stuff you got to do. And with these rains and sunshine, it's in great shape now. So look forward to the next Saturday and all the people that helped sponsor it.
And you got your buddy Ken Betts. You got him. I'll have to rub that in.
Oh, do I get Kenny playing? Well, I couldn't say. I don't know if he's playing Saturday, but I know that he was not happy last Saturday when he left.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure he wasn't happy. We actually.
Well, he got drummed. He got drummed, and he was starting off the lift. So it was good to see him kind of whine a little bit more.
All right, my man. I tell you what, I'll see you next Saturday because I'm going to come out after I get done with the shows. We'll be there set up from 11 to 12. All we'll need is a table if you can conjure up a table for us. And
you can do whatever you need there, partner.
Okay, and you'll meet my main man. He's a lot sharper than I am, better looking, about 6'4", and great kid, Oscar Carter.
Right.
He actually was a caddy when he was at Michigan State at Oakland Hills. And
oh, wow.
He's got some great stories to talk about that track that unfortunately burned down this past year.
Oh, boy, yeah, I saw that. But tell John Rieger I said hello.
I will, brother. You have a great day, and I'll see you next Saturday.
That'd be great. Appreciate it.
We'll talk more golf off and on the tee this year.
We should be in the World Series by next week.
In Omaha.
In Omaha, baby.
I've been there many times. I grew up 90 miles away. Great environment.
All right,
man. Have a great day.
See ya.
Bill Butner, and I'll tell you what, he brings a lot of, he's got a lot of stories, I'm telling you right now, that I absolutely love to hear. He could tell us stories forever. And it's a small world because John Rieger, of course, who comes on with his golf Rieger report, and we're going to give him a shout right now. He threw his name out to me one day. And I said, well, I know him. I worked at the St. Pete Country Club with him. And he says, really? I said, yeah, yeah. Well, so anyway, while I'm efforting his number, I wanted to do another shout-out to my newest supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb, with Champa Bay, and, of course, By the Bay. I'll finish this in a second. I think I'm going to get John, we will close the show so people remember that Barb with the Bay is our new supporter. And now, John Rieger is kind enough to join me. Good morning, John.
Hey, why'd you put me on here? I could have sat and listened to Bill all day long, tell stories, man. I enjoyed hearing some of those things.
Well, I'm glad you listened, and I apologize. I don't have the big O here today. Imagine this. He wants to spend time with his girlfriend versus the old man and you, and I gave him a pass. So, otherwise, we will orchestrate this, that we've got the three lines next time so you two can share stories together. But he's a great guy. You know him a lot better than I.
Well, you know, golf's not a matter of life or death, Mike. It's more important than that.
Exactly. And that's what you've focused on most of your life, is the great game of golf.
Absolutely. You know, there's obviously a lot of controversy going on in the game of golf right now with the LIV Golf Tour. You know, I've been watching it the last couple of days. In fact, it's still on. You go to the livegolf.com. You can watch it online. I think there's like 10 holes left, 9 or 10 holes left for the final round, $4 million first place prize. It's very, very interesting to watch a shotgun start and this and that and the other. But there's a lot of things that there's a lot of myopic things going on as this is being reported. And, you know, a lot of times, people lose track of history of golf and professional golf in some ways. You know, professional golf, it's about money. It's about money. That's the number one thing, okay? Yeah, it's about camaraderie, and it's about raising money for charity, and it's about fame and glory and winning majors and, you know, jet setting around. It is. I mean, all that is, but the number one thing is about money. And the PGA Tour, the one thing, you know, that they're correct about is they're mad. Because, you know, all of a sudden it's siphoned off some of their players, and this tour is offering a lot more money than they could possibly make. And it was interesting when I started looking at that, because there's been a time in history when you had two players who were playing on the professional tour. It was under the PGA of America, and their fellow tour players were a little disenchanted because they weren't making enough money. They weren't playing for enough money, even though the public knew that these two players made a ton of money relative to everything going on in their era. And so guess what they did? They broke away from the PGA of America, and they helped found the PGA Tour. And those two greedy players are Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, okay? So those two guys there back in that day, you know, they broke away and they formed the PGA Tour. And it used to be under one umbrella, the PGA of America. So the PGA Tour now is mad at Greg and Phil for having all this money and being greedy and then breaking away. Well, I understand that. I understand the hard feelings and them banning them and suspending them and fining them. Hey, you know, it's their tour. They do what they want. So, you know, it is about money. The thing disturbing to me, though, is, and this is why the PGA Tour is very silent on this, is that your golf writers out there, Alan Shipnick, you know, who wrote the unauthorized biography of Phil Mickelson,
who got the boot at the press conference?
Well, he's stalking them, right? Well, all these people around the world, especially the media, are all talking about Saudi Arabia and human rights. Okay, I get it. All right, you know, there's a moral issue here. All right, but you know, the United States has a relationship with Saudi Arabia. In fact, the President of the United States is getting ready to go there next month and beg for more oil.
Yeah, well, right? You don't want to get me on that bandwagon.
Yeah, so what happens is that, you know, the PGA Tour is silent on that. They're not virtue signaling on this at all with these players. And the reason why is because the PGA Tour is heavily vested with China. You know, they have a tournament in Shanghai every year. And they have PGA Tour China, and they signed a 20-year deal for billions of dollars with the Chinese. So they're not going to do any virtual signaling because, quite frankly, they can't. But all these tour players out there that are trying to do virtual signaling who went to China and played in that PGA Tour event, it was a World Golf Championship kind of event, yet they're all over everybody for playing in the Saudi Golf League. So this is how sports get ruined. Okay, this is how sports get ruined when you go a little bit overboard in the sense that, yes, the mere fact that I'm having a discussion about this, my peers might look at me and go, what are you doing? How can you condone this? Well, let's start looking at everything. Graham McDowell summed it up best in the news conference. He goes, if we took that stance and we were human rights warriors, we wouldn't have any place to play golf, hardly at all, in the world. So, sports should be a way to maybe, bring attention to that. Sports should be a way to maybe help defeat that, whatever it is. But, I just scoff at when I see the sports writers go into this outrage, and yet they're all, fine and dandy with the PGA Tour playing in China and growing the game to a vast people, a population in the world.
Well, that's why I have you, John. I love that analysis because, unfortunately, I look at ESPN. They've turned into an offshoot of news agencies and taken stances. And as an old man, I don't care for it. But the hypocrisy exists everywhere. Just look at NCAA collegiate athletics right now with NIL. Look at the gambling relationships with every sport. You and I are old enough just to smile and shake our heads at that.
Yeah, so it doesn't make it right, but at the same time, you want to be careful, sometimes to start broadcasting your virtue a little over the top and start ruining the whole idea of what sports are supposed to be about. I learned a lesson years and years ago. My good friend Barry Smith invited me to a Bobby Bowden golf day. And it was great. They just won the national championship, and Bobby Bowden does his spring tour of golf courses for the boosters, and they get to play golf, and then they have a banquet that night. It was a lot of fun. He did like 12, 15 of those a year. He'd do them in the springtime. So I got invited to play with Barry, and I went to the banquet. And so everybody there is a huge booster of Florida State University, the football program.
And you're a Gator.
Well, I'm a Cougar, College of Charleston. All right?
I forgot. Yeah.
That's right. But but I have kids that graduated with degrees and doctorates from University of Florida, so my money went there. So I guess I can call myself a Gator in some sort of way. I'm down there, and it's a wonderful day. Bobby, he's the hero. He's the coach who just won the national championship, and he has Sebastian Janikowski on his team. And for our listeners out there, probably remember him. He was the place kicker that played for the Noles, and he was a wild man. He ended up playing for the Raiders, I think, for at least 12, 15 years in the NFL.
Weighed about 250.
Yeah, big guy, big party guy. And so here they were in New Orleans, the eve of the national championship. Sebastian Janikowski gets in at 4 a.m. in the morning. So they had some boosters had a question and answer. And so one of the boosters stood up, and this is friendly fire. Coach Bowden, why'd you let Sebastian Janikowski play in the football game? He broke curfew. He's drunk, and he's out on Bourbon Street till 4 a.m. in the morning. And Bobby said, listen, do you think I'm going to jeopardize $12 million in revenue in a national championship because he's out partying it down on Bourbon Street? and at that time, from that point on, I had a great deal of respect for Bobby Bowden because he just told it like it was.
Logical thinker, Bobby Bowden.
I mean, everybody wanted to say that it's St. Bobby and so virtuous. Well, yeah, he was. He's probably one of the best human beings you ever have met in your lifetime. But there's a reality to it. And he realized that, okay, what do? Well, if this was the state high school football championship and that happened, there's no money in it, at least for now. But there's no money in that, and it's just, you're supposed to teach sportsmanship and discipline and rules and stuff like that. But once you get to professional sports, everybody has to realize it's just about money, okay? And we love our teams. Man, I love the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Rays and the Bucks. I grew up basically in Tampa, so I'm still But it really does come down to money. Tom Brady would never play for the Bucks unless he got $40 million a year. He would have been playing for the Dolphins or...
Well, hell, he was close to playing for the Dolphins. We find that out after the fact.
Yeah. But he went for the money. And he went to a place that's about money. Now, it's fun. You know, hey, you know, he's our guy. And, you know, we love, you know, to wear the Tom Brady jersey at the football game, stuff like that. So professional golf is gone that way. Now it's about the money. But it always has been. Even in the 60s when Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer led the move to break up the PGA of America and have two divisions, the Club Pro, and then you had the Tournament Players Division, which eventually became the PGA Tour, for one reason and one reason only, about money. So this tour is about money. So but you also have a free choice. You know, it's like, if you don't want to watch the LIV Golf Tour, don't watch it. I mean, if you think it's an outrageous amount of money to be paid, golfers to be paid, don't watch it. Okay, if you don't agree with the moral situation, don't watch it. Don't watch the tour either, because they're in the same boat, you know, with human rights in China. So the key is, the good news is, you have a right to talk about it, complain about it, watch it not, whatever. But you also have a right to say, well, hey, let's watch. Let's see if the golf's any good. Let's see if, you know, it's going to be amazing to watch him give $25 million away in a tournament, you know. I mean, you know, the richest tournament in golf, and they're going to have eight of them this year, and then they're going to keep expanding. So everybody has a right to do it. But if you get too worked up in the rah-rah, this and that and the other, and, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. All right.
He just hit a billion this week, breaking news.
He's a billionaire. I like Tiger. But he hasn't exactly torn it up on the moral standpoint there, you know.
Yeah.
But guess
what? That's not breaking news, is it, John?
No, but guess what? People like ourselves, we forgive them. You know, if we don't agree with that, we forgive them. And go play some good golf. You're a hero, Tiger. We love to watch you out there playing, and we love to, hey, it's great to see you out there with your son. Do good, okay? And he's doing good. But, you know, but at the time, you know, everybody's all of a sudden, you know, over the top on Tiger Woods. And, you know, you gotta look at professional sports. It is money. So don't get too far down the rabbit hole of thinking that this is something that is going to define your life. No, it's just entertainment is probably the best way to describe it. Well, college sports is fast becoming entertainment and professional. You know, that's all. When you have money and you have an abundant amount of money and you have actors out there that the PGA Tour right now has kept really quiet for years about Patrick Reed and Bryson and Phil and this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, all these anonymous sources are coming out and saying, hey, you know, look what we prevented here, and look what this guy did there.
It's like government. Yeah. It's getting nauseating.
They leak things out. Every professional sport, especially the PGA Tour, they've had skeletons in their closet. They've had problems with their players. They're just secretive about it. They're not transparent. So if you got a player that's off the tour because they tested positive for cocaine, oh, that player is just gone for the tour for 3 months. You know, and there's no reason given. And then they're back, you know. So it happened.
DJ had his little run with that. JD has. I mean, maybe it's the initials. But, hey, before I forget, I've got to become friends. Lynn the Growler Strickler. Have you ever run across him? He was at one time ranked in the top 36 caddies in America. He had a column in Sports Illustrated. He lives in Clearwater, and I met him down here at Ferg's, and we formed an alliance. He said that you were a nice stick back in the day. He listens. He's listening right now on 106.1 FM in Clearwater. And he was on Norman's bag at the British Open. And I guess I want to go to Norman. I think if it was delivered by someone besides Greg Norman, who I look at as smug, some of the statements he's made, he doesn't, and he's done this his entire life, he doesn't do himself any favors. Don't you think if it was delivered by someone that people enjoyed more, it might have been more accepted?
Well, he is what he is. Greg Norman is who he is. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And I remember, you know, you had Bill talking about what happened with Greg Norman. I think it was like the mid-90s when he tried to do this World Golf Tour. He did it with Rupert Murdoch. And I guess there just wasn't enough money in China then, is there? But now, figuratively speaking, right? Well, now there's a lot of money out there in Saudi Arabia. They could go throw $1 billion at, you know, Tiger Woods. Holy smokes, you know. So now money makes it, you know, money talks and BS walks, I guess is the best way to describe it.
All right, Mike.
And, but, you know, at the same time, if none of this would ever happen, and there's a lot of things that maybe wouldn't happen for Greg if he wasn't outspoken. You know, it wasn't outspoken, but yeah, he's that. You know, he's always been a challenge sometimes, and he's one of those guys. He's a lot like Lee Trevino in a lot of ways. I love Lee Trevino.
Oh, who doesn't?
But I spent time with Lee Trevino, okay, and I've seen, man, I tell you what, he's got that public persona. He's wonderful, okay. Boy, I tell you what, though, you get to really know him well. Some of the things he'll say about fans, some of the things he'll say about other players. Oh my God. It's terrible.
Well, Chi-Chi's the same way. I experienced Chi-Chi on two or three occasions, and I thought, you hypocrite. You know, that you're a bastion for the kids? He was a jackass at three events in Des Moines, and this is, I witnessed it personally. And then the clubbies and the people working behind the scenes, those are the people you ask. And he was not a nice human being.
I was on the first tee at TPC Tampa Bay 1 year, and I'm standing there with him, and he rumbles under his breath. I hear all these people here, Tampa Bay, rah, 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 you know. And I'm like, you know, and I'm just kind of like, I face planted. I get my hands to my face. Is just like, hopefully nobody heard that, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the way it was. But there's a public persona, and there's a just like Phil. It's the same way.
No doubt.
You know his. But now it's kind of ruined his legacy. It's kind of ruined a lot of things. But a lot of people shouldn't take too much stock. You know, if they only knew a lot more about Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer, they'd be shocked. They'd be shocked.
All right,
okay,
man.
So,
I gotta wind this down and do a thank you for one of our new. I'm taking your advice. I'm getting advertisers on here, buddy, and we're gonna start monetizing. So I'm gonna take care of that before we top the show. But I'll give you a call later today. I want to visit about a couple topics. How's that sound?
Fantastic. Hey, enjoyed listening to Bill, and I guess you're gonna have the. The great Jim King of Tampa Bay Golf, maybe in the future. Or
yeah.
Jim on earlier.
Well, I'll get that figured out by then, the technology. You'll be on with him, these guys, okay?
Fantastic. All righty.
All right,
take
John.
Take care, everybody.
All right, man. Thank you very much. That's John Rieger and the John Rieger Golf Report. And I love that cat. He brings it each and every Saturday. Hello, Ben Botham. I'm going to thank our newest sponsor, and that is my partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheiner is with First Class Real Estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic. If I could speak, I'm from the Midwest, can't even speak. Integrity and commitment to every client. Combined with her knowledge, she grew up in Lamar's, Iowa. Family of home construction success for decades, right up the street from my hometown, Lamar's, Iowa. Everybody loves Barbie. Her energy, her bubbly personality, it takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying. I can't imagine the stress now. It's just crazy. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I got a couple more for her. Look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. Reach out to Barb with Champa Bay today at barbwithchampabay@gmail.com or give her a call, 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. Barb with Champa Bay. @gmail.com. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today. All right, I got to wind things down, and then we're going to dive into baseball and a bunch of topics. From the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Clubhouse, I'm Mike Rickard for Bill Butner, John Rieger, Joe Boudreaux, Big Ed on the controls. Thanks for listening on the tee as we share the great game of golf. Stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. God bless you. God bless America. Keep it in the short grass.